Welcome to Nightlife, bite-sized travel.
I'm going to take you to an island tonight where there are no ATMs, no big supermarket, and all the residents live off-grid. For visitors to the island, the visit seems as though you're almost taking a step back in time. The place I'm talking about is Great Barrier Island in New Zealand. It's located about 90 kilometres off the coast of Auckland, and if you're a fan of stargazing, it might be just the place for you, as the island is a dark sky sanctuary too. What's that? Lucky travel writer Laura Waters headed there recently for a trip, and she joins us on Nightlife to tell us all about it. Laura, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks for having me.
Where is Great Barrier Island?
Yeah, so it's about 90 kilometres northeast of Auckland. So you can sort of catch a ferry just directly from Auckland, actually. It takes about 4.5 hours. Or there's a half-hour flight that will just whip you over there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I've been to New Zealand heaps of times and I, you know, haven't really heard much about this place. So it was a bit of an adventure to get over there.
No, I've not heard of it either. So you can fly? Did you say you can fly there or ferry there?
Fly or ferry, yeah. 30-minute flight or 4-hour ferry.
Okay, so it's not close to the coast.
No, that's right.
What's there?
Okay, there it's a stunning, beautiful island. Quite mountainous in the middle, very mountainous actually. And then on the east coast, you've sort of got lots of long sandy beaches. But it's very low key, and I think that's the that's its big draw card, really. It sort of feels like you've landed back in 1975 or something, you know, when I got there. I actually opted to fly over. And when we landed, there was this tiny arrivals building and there was a little dog just running around on his own saying hello to people. And I just thought, you know, okay, that's not the normal welcome you get when you landed at an airport. But that sort of relaxed attitude is all over the island, you know, people wave, everyone's walking barefoot, people leave the cars unlocked. It's just a very cruisy place.
Mm. Who lives there? I mean, what do people do?
Yeah, there are a lot of, I'm not sure how many residents, maybe I think it might be like 800 people live there.
Right.
But, you know, people do go there to sort of live a quieter life. I came across some people who had moved there and came across some that, you know, have holiday homes and go over to there from Auckland. And they love it for the relaxed life. They like it because it's off the grid. I met this girl who had a family home, a holiday home there for years, and she said when she was younger they didn't even have solar power there, so it was all candles at night and no internet, and she loved it, you know. So, I mean, now they've got a few more facilities, but apparently everyone's still in bed by 9 o'clock anyway. So yeah, everyone's still just going there to chill out.
How do people live, though? Do they live off the land? I mean, or do they just ship? I mean, they get food off the ferry, do they?
Yeah. I mean, the ferry goes a couple of times a day, so and the flights go in. I guess there'd be a few people in tourism, and there's not really any major. There's no major industry or anything there, so I guess the people are just self-funding or doing something.
But people
online,
actually live
I'm
there full time,
sure.
though, do they?
People do live there, and. You know, tourism is pretty low-key there as well. There's really not any big hotels there.
Where do you stay?
Well, there's like little lodges and guest houses that, you know, maybe you've got a dozen rooms or something. But a lot of the accommodation actually is in what they call batches, which is sort of our phrase for a holiday home.
Mm-hmm.
So just very sort of casual, low-key, what you'd think of as a, you know, a 70s holiday home in Australia. That's kind of what a batch is.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, might have a toilet outside, but it'll be walking distance to the beach. And that's kind of the most popular kind of accommodation over there.
Mm. Okay. You say that people live off-grid. I mean, so is there electricity on the island?
It's all solar,
right.
Solar power or generator, but, yeah, mainly solar. So it's pretty crazy. And a lot of there are sealed roads, but there's a lot of unsealed roads as well. So, it's very, very sort of back in time, which is nice.
Yeah. What do you? So what do you do? What if you went to stay there?
Okay. The thing you need to do probably is grab a hire car and go and explore, because it's a beautiful island. There's fabulous hiking there. Probably a couple of dozen hiking trails. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just like half an hour long. You can walk. It's about a 10-minute walk from the roadside to Windy Canyon, which is this amazing sort of rock formation, big, steep, rocky chasms, and the trail goes through it. And the rocks, if you can imagine these big rock pillars just draped in ferns and mosses and palm trees, it's just stunning. So in the middle of the island, you've got all these dense forest and rocky spires poking through. If you can imagine kaka parrots screeching through the treetops, you know, just makes it feel like Jurassic Park, basically, when you're out there.
Are there kiwis there?
No, not to my knowledge, no. But, yeah, it's really beautiful. And so you can do that. You can walk to the Kaitoki Hot Springs, mm-hmm. which that's also just a nice half an hour flat walk, and it takes you to these natural springs just tucked in between these rock walls, once again with the ferns and the mosses, you know, just covering the rock. It's beautiful. So you can just sit in these pools on your own and enjoy that sort of thing. The lovely beaches, beautiful white sandy beaches. You've got them all to yourself. There's the mermaid pools, which are these rock pools that you can float in. And then all the usual water sports that you would imagine in a place like that. You can go fishing and paddle boarding and kayaking. There's e-bikes that you can rent. But, yeah, there's no big tours or anything really. It's all quite low-key.
Mm. So in terms of eating, what do you – I mean, are there restaurants or what?
Yes. There's probably about a dozen, I suppose, decent places across the whole island. There's a few little townships and some have, you know, one – there's a couple of pubs on the island. There's a couple of really nice cafes that do really good food, actually. That's one thing that hasn't suffered for the laid-back style. There's good food to be had there. But if you're staying in a holiday home too, you might want to take your own food and cook at home. There is a general store where you can get groceries and wine and things like that as well. Yeah.
I'm talking with Laura Waters, travel writer, and we're talking about Great Barrier Island in New Zealand. I don't know whether you've ever stayed at Lord Howe Island, but it's sounding a bit like that. Is it at all like that?
I couldn't tell you, Phil. No, I haven't been there, sorry. But you know, it does sound like it. I've heard similar things in terms of, you know, just getting around by bicycle and leaving your room unlocked, things like that. It sounds quite similar.
Mm. Yeah. Is there wildlife to look at?
New Zealand naturally doesn't have any mammals.
Yeah.
It's bird life. That's mm-hmm. what they're all about. And I actually went to this great sanctuary, Glenfern Sanctuary on the island, which is actually trying to, they've got this predator-proof fence around a peninsula, and they're trying to rehabilitate the land to, you know, what it naturally is. Because with the introduction of pests in New Zealand, you know, goats and stoats, things like that, a lot of their bird life has suffered because their, you know, eggs get eaten and things like that. So in this sanctuary, they are removing predators and they're replanting trees. And I did this incredible night walk there where I walked through the forest at night with a guide, and she showed us some incredible things. I saw some weta. I don't know if you've heard. Have you heard of weta?
No.
W-E-T-A, weta. They're like this prehistoric sort of cockroach, which doesn't sound very nice, but they're actually the heaviest insect in the world, about 10 centimetres long, mm-hmm. and they cling to the underside of branches and logs and things like that. And we saw about half a dozen of those, which was actually quite special because it is something that New Zealand's known for. But we also saw glowworms and eels swimming in streams at night. A really special moment, she pointed out this baby petrel chick that was hiding in a tree. There was like a hollowed out tree, and our guide sort of shone a light torch in there, and we saw this little fluffy bird about the size of it. It just looked like a grey slipper to me with a beak. But I was like, what am I looking at? And then I made out that it was a bird. And these birds actually just sit there on their own, and they could be waiting for a day or two for mum and dad to come back from hunting out on the oceans with food. And they just, these little chicks just sit there on their own waiting patiently to be fed.
I mentioned that it's also a dark sky sanctuary. What does it? What does that mean? I mean, the stargazing is pretty good, is it?
Yeah, that's right. So the International Dark Sky Association, they have these. They sort of designate areas that have exceptional, you know, quality of night skies, and they try and protect those areas as such. So with no, you know, with Great Barrier being 90 k's offshore and not a lot of natural light pollution, it's the ideal place. So the island was actually the first island dark sky sanctuary, and you can do these tours at night. I did this one, and you sit on these chairs, on these moon chairs, where you can sort of lay back and stare at the sky, and then you know, the guide sort of points out what you're looking at, and you can look through telescopes and binoculars, and they point out various planets and stars, and it was just you know, really quite amazing. I was really blown away. They pointed out the Orion Nebula through a telescope, and it's a patch of dust and gas that's sort of emitting light, and it creates new stars, but it just looks like a mass of fuzzy light with sort of a bit of a greenish tinge to it. But it was just amazing because it looked like the kind of picture that you would see in a science, you know, textbook or something like that. But it was, you know, real. It was out there. Yeah. I was looking at it with my naked eyes, you know, or with, you know, with the telescope. And it was quite a moment, quite amazing to sort of have that link to this place that's, you know, 1,000-odd light years away, and you could actually see it. It was amazing.
Quite extraordinary. Look, it's New Zealand, so I suppose you don't swim, do you, or do you?
Yes. Well, there's good swimming in the mermaid pools and off the beaches there. They've got lovely long sandy beaches off the east coast, which are very popular for swimming. Yeah, and actually off the west coast too. The west coast has got more sort of cliffs and inlets. So east coast is sort of flat land and long sandy beaches. West coast, you've got lots of inlets with sort of steeper coastline. But there are still a few little bays and beaches that you can swim in. So, yeah, great for swimming there. Really good. Nice clear water.
It does sound like a unique place. How long do you think you should stay? A day or two longer?
I spent 3 days there, but, you know, I was rushing around trying to see everything basically. So ideally a week would be great because you could see things and you could also have the chance to unwind and just soak up that vibe that, you know, is what it's great for really, and just get into that local mindset of just chilling out and slowing down.
Fabulous.
That's where the beauty is, yeah.
All right, Laura, terrific to talk. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.